15 feet and no talking in courtroom.
Proceed with contempt, now, Your Honor.
I think it would be well stated in the record, one of the respondents are here and have the appearance of that. I've received no pleading except one, Mr. Hayes, Franco Hayes. Unless Your Honor thinks it should be done, or there is a desire on the part of someone else that it should be done, I will not read the petition. The order is desiratious. Now, the preceding orders, of course, the court has judicial knowledge of them. But I believe that it would make more intelligible the proof, the continuity of the proof, and also there's some questions of notice that will come in front of us, so I'm going through some of the earlier orders. State your name for the record, please.
J. Blackwell.
Mr. Blackwell, do you have any connection with this court?
I'm the clerk of the criminal court in Cherry County.
And how long have you served as clerk of this court?
16 years.
Were you sworn, Mr. Blackwell?
Yes, I was sworn to the judge.
Now, as clerk, do you have custody of the minutes, all of the other orders of this court?
I do.
And do you have the orders of this court with reference to courthouse procedure and publicity, the information in this case?
I do have them on file.
Do you have them with you in the official minute book?
Yes.
Would you please turn to the first order, which I believe is the order of July the 18th.
Washington, the adjoining Shelby County building, 157 Poplar Avenue, Memphis. jury and prisoner have had ample time to withdraw, and said spectators have been given permission to disperse. 5. The bar of the court within the rail is reserved for the defendant, counsel, members of the bar, court personnel, and such witnesses as counsel may desire to be within the bar for consultation purposes. No one else will enter without permission of the court. 6. No one except attorneys of record, their agents, court personnel, witnesses, and jurors may handle exhibits except by order of the court. 7. All lawyers participating in this case, their assistants, office associates, staff members, investigators, and employees under their supervision and control are forbidden to take part in interviews for publicity and for making extrajudicial statements about this case from this date until such time as a verdict is returned in this case in open court. 8. The county medical examiner, jury commissioners, criminal court clerk, county sheriff, police officials, and other law enforcement officers, employees of this court, all other persons employed in the criminal court's buildings, their associates, deputies, assistants, staff members, and personnel under their supervision and control are forbidden to participate in interviews for publicity and from making extrajudicial statements about this case from this date and until such time as a verdict in this case is returned in open court. 9. All witnesses, persons subpoenaed to grand jury or court, jurors, and those persons summoned but excused from serving as jurors are forbidden to participate in interviews for publicity making extrajudicial statements about this case from this date until such time as a verdict in this case is returned in open court. 10. Nothing in this order shall prohibit any witness from discussing any matter in connection with the case with any of the attorneys representing the defendant or the state, or any representative of such attorneys. Signed, W. Preston Battle, Judge of Division 3, the Criminal Court of Shelby County, Tennessee, dated July the 18th, 1968.
Mr. Blackwell, did your office or not make copies of that order freely available to the local press or other news media that desire?
We did.
Do you know personally, and do you have in your files evidence that employees in what for convenience I just referred to as the criminal court building were required in writing to acknowledge the receipt of a copy of that order?
I do have that in my files.
Now, what was the next order of this court?
Monday, July the 22nd, 1968, an amendment to the original order.
Would you read it, please?
Monday, July the... The date is July the 23rd, I think I said July the 22nd. It's, we have two orders on this one sheet. Monday order, now this is for Tuesday, July the 23rd, for the record. Tuesday, July the 23rd, 1968. Court met pursuant to adjournment, the Honorable W. Preston Battle, Judge presiding, whereupon the following proceedings were had to wit. The State of Tennessee versus James Earl Ray, alias Eric Starbolt Galt, alias John Willard, alias Harvey Lohmeyer, alias Harvey Lohmeyer. Case number 16645, murder first degree, and 16819, carrying a dangerous weapon. Amendment to order. The order heretofore entered in this cause on the 18th day of July, 1968, and headed the order on courthouse and courtroom procedures and publicity is hereby amended as follows. In paragraph 7, 8, and 9 of said order, the terms, interviews for publicity, and extrajudicial statements shall be limited to such interviews and statements as are prejudicial to a fair trial by an impartial jury in the case. This is done by the court on its own motion, this 23rd day of July, 1968, signed W. Preston Battle, Judge of Division 3 of the Criminal Court.
Would you please minutes and tell us what was the next order that was presented by the court.
The minutes reflect on Tuesday, July the 30th, 1968. An order was entered in the rate case.
Read it, please.
The State of Tennessee versus James Earl Ray, alias Eric Starbo Galt, alias John Willard, alias Harvey Lomar, alias Harvey Lomar, in case number 16645, charging murder in first degree in 16819, carrying a dangerous weapon. In this cause, the court having heretofore appointed a committee of 8 members of the bar to act as amicus curiae, and said committee having this day finally report that there is probable cause to believe that this court's order of July the 18th, 1968 is amended on July the 23rd, 1968, has been violated by certain individuals in certain circumstances, to wit, 1. Certain statements attributed to Arthur B. Haynes to the effect that the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. involves a communist conspiracy, to the effect that his client's rights were being trampled in jail, and to the effect that he, his family, and servants are being threatened by them, as quoted in the Memphis Press Summons of Saturday, July the 27th, 1968, and the Commercial Appeal of Sunday, July the 28th, 1968. 2. Certain statements in Memphis Press Summons of July the 27th, 1968, attributed to William Morris, Sheriff of Shelby County, Tennessee, concerning the cost and expenses for the security of the prisoner and the treatment of the prisoner and the prisoner's demeanor and attitude while in confinement. 3. Certain statements appearing in the Memphis Press Summons of Saturday, July the 27th, 1968, attributed to Russell X. Thompson concerning his opinion as to the guilt or innocence of the defendant. And said report further pointing out that to the extent that Ramsey Clark, Attorney General of the United States, is a law enforcement officer or a lawyer participating in this case through his staff, assistants, office associates, investigators, or employees under his supervision, the statements attributed to him and the United States Department of Justice as referred to in the Commercial of July the 28th, 1968, are in probable violation of the principles set out in Shepard v. Maxwell, 384 U.S. 333. 16th edition of 1686, Supreme Court, 1570 and 1966. Said statements being to the effect that there was no evidence of a conspiracy in the shooting of Dr. Martin Luther King, the court, in the interest of preserving the constitutional rights of all concerned and protecting the orderly preparation and progress of the trial, reserves further inquiry and disposition of each and all of the above instances until a later date, and whereas it is the desire of the court to avoid any possible misunderstanding of its orders heretofore made, said orders of July the 18th and July the 23rd,